Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of How to Lower Your Tax Bill. The tax season has wrapped, and many of you who own businesses check that box off. And you may not revisit this until the end of the year or next year. And so today we're going to hopefully encourage you not to just check taxes off as an item that you completed and actually think through some of the mistakes that we see that are common that business owners make. And then also some things for you to implement from a strategy standpoint to hopefully keep more of your hard-earned money. I am still here with my talented co-host, Tamia Kelly. Say hi to the people.
Hey, great people. I don't know about talented, but I am great. So we're here. We'll see what happens. I'm sure you will continue to find out that I am still blind. So, I mean, we'll work it out. Shout out to Terrence. You know, he's going to help me along the way. Hello, good people. Join us on this ride.
So I don't know how you are great and not talented. That's another podcast. Monday. So we're going to go through five mistakes.
Yes.
Or things that we see business owners do that hopefully you aren't going to be one of those business owners. Or if you do or have done one of these things, you'll have the opportunity to adjust your behavior for future reference. And so one of the biggest things that I see, and I always encourage people, if we look at their tax return from the prior year, I look at line 38 on their tax return. Line 38 on their tax return tells you, did you pay enough into the IRS for them to not charge you a penalty?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of business owners, when I first work with them, I tell them that, hey, the IRS is your partner, okay? Now, ideally, they'll be a silent partner. I don't want to hear from them, all right? I just have to pay them what they are due based on the money that I make and the type of money that I make. But if I don't pay them enough during the year, they would charge me a failure to pay penalty. Tamia, you probably had a few people this past tax year you worked with who knew they were going to owe, and they were just waiting on you to tell them how much. Did you have that?
Yes. So I did have that experience. And honestly, I thought it was the norm, Terrence. Like you guys, being in this tax world has really opened my eyes to a lot of different things. And it is very common for people to wait and just to pay and know that they're going to have to pay and know that there's going to be a penalty. And so I did have a few people, and here it is, people, that penalty is not small by a little bit. And so they just handed me their shoebox of receipts and was like, hey, I know I'm going to owe, but here you go. And that was it. So it was interesting to me that one, there was an expectation that they owe, but two, what was also interesting is that throughout the year, right? So we just finished the 2024 year. Throughout the 2024 year, I didn't hear any of my customers prepare for these taxes. They just didn't prepare. And so I'm looking forward to what you have to say about that, Terrence, in terms of you don't have to wait until you hand your shoebox of receipts to your tax preparer. You can prepare to make sure you're paying enough taxes and also prepare for any penalty if you've underpaid.
Definitely. So the things that we look at line 38, it says, hey, not that penalty. The other line you can look at is line 24. Mm-hmm. That just shows you how much did you pay last year in total taxes. We talked about this on a prior episode as far as if you're a W-2 employee, I see the same thing.
Well, yes.
Hey, they like, you know, over a year, I don't know why.
I hope this person, listen, everybody's information is private, okay? I will say this, y'all. Please go back and listen to the prior episodes, because here's the thing. For your W-4 employees, please make sure you are withholding enough. What is it? The W-4. Yes.
Yeah.
On your W-4, please make sure you're making the proper selection. I literally, and I hope they're not listening. I literally had someone who made over, let's just say over 70K and only paid $800 in taxes. $800. $800. You're going to get a penalty, people. You're not getting over on the government. Pay them what you owe them, please.
If you are in the situation where you always owe every year, understand that you're not only just going to owe probably the next year, unless you made some changes, you're going to continue to owe more. And many times people will put payment plans and now we're paying interest. And so we don't want to have this cycle.
Right.
But a lot of people just need that education. But that's why MasterCard, Discover, Capital One, you know, Visa, all of them are big companies because they make money on people not planning ahead properly for their purchases.
Right.
So if you're a business owner, though, one thing that you need to do, and this is very common, even for a lot of CPAs, they don't do a lot of planning with clients. Mm-hmm. They prepare their taxes, they send them their return, and then they give them these vouchers. Those vouchers will essentially say, hey, here is your get out of jail free card. If you make under $150,000, if you pay in 100% of what you owe the last year, so if I make $140,000 and I owed 10 grand last year, if I pay $10,000 in 2025, I won't owe a tax penalty. That is if I do it, if paid it. So I can't do it in December 31st. I have to do it in stages. So April 15th, June 15th, October 15th, January. So they kind of stagger it oddly, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, as far as when you make your estimated tax payments. But you have to do it in those 3 month increments. Because, hey, that $10,000, the IRS thinks you should be paying me in $1,200 installments. So that's your get out of jail free card. If you make over $150,000, it's actually going to be 110%. So it'd be $11,000 in that example. And I got to do it in 4 increments from that vantage point. So that's what you would call your safe harbor or your get out of jail free card. Now, it's very predictable. If you are number one saying, hey, I owed 10 grand last year, then unless something dramatically changes, you're going to owe probably around that same, which means you should adjust your spending accordingly to factor in that this is an expense that you have to make. In fact, I tell business owners, your business should pay for your taxes.
Yes.
Meaning you should have enough capital coming in to not only pay you for the work you're doing, but also to cover the taxes that come along with it. If your business can't generate enough income to do that, then you probably are either spending too much and you need to reassess your budget, or you need to reassess, is this a good business for you? So this is a cycle that you're going to continue to follow. You're probably just going to dig yourself into a bigger hole. And on a future episode, I'm going to talk about just the decision to start a business and maybe some of the criteria you could use to help determine that.
Yeah.
So you have your safe harbor method, your get out of jail free card. Pay 100% of what you owed last year. Pay 90% of what you owe in the current year, or pay 110% of what you owe the prior year if your income is above $150,000. Then you have the pay-as-you-go method. Now, what would be preferred on the safe harbor method? I would prefer the pay-as-you-go method over the safe harbor for 2 reasons. Number one, it allows you to be more strategic with when and how much you pay your taxes. So for example, I'm a business owner. He does very well. But in 23, let's just say he made $2 million. In 24, because of depreciation and some other things, he made like $1 million on paper. Well, his tax liability for 24 was a lot lower than 23. So his estimated taxes would be a lot lower. However, when we file his tax return, so 25 would be the first year I'll file his tax return. For 2025, let's say he goes back to making that $2 million. Well, he could have paid based on making $1 million. And that was what he was thinking. Oh, you know, my estimated taxes are way less than they were the prior year. But if his income shoots back up and he doesn't prepare ahead of time, then all of a sudden when we file, he's going to be looking at this big bill. Now, he won't pay a penalty, but he will have a big bill tied to it. And to me, I would imagine people love writing bigger checks than smaller checks.
Right. Everybody like to pay more than what they did the last year. Sure, why not? But I want to go back to something that you mentioned. I know where you were talking about the business owners, especially with the pay-as-you-go, and just using that common sense, like if I owed 10 grand in 2023, then I need to prepare for that, right? And I think the same goes for our W-2 employees. If you are owing, you don't have a lot of deductions or anything to help, then either change your withholding or actually add more to it so you won't have to keep on paying this huge chunk. You can take those same steps to make sure you're not owing or having to come out so much money when you file your taxes. So I think this is also applicable to those W-2 employees as well.
Right, because it's a lot easier to pay $100 extra a month,
yeah,
$200 extra a month than to come up with a few $1,000s.
Absolutely.
The pay-as-you-go method, I will use that with people specifically if they have a drop in income.
Ooh.
Okay. So, for example, if he had gone from $2 million to $1 million, I wouldn't have wanted him to pay estimated taxes on $2 million. He would have paid in too much. But if we have a jump in income, I want to use the safe harbor method. So let's say he makes $1 million. I still want him to pay based on him making $1 million, but I want him to set aside the extra money. So let's just say his tax bill doubled. So instead of him paying $10,000, he has to pay $20,000. I'd say, hey, go ahead and pay the $10,000 throughout the year so you have the get out of jail free card. But we need to set aside that other $10,000. Now, in his case, he probably has an extra zero tied to his numbers, right? So if the numbers are much bigger, you can see the value of that. To say, hey, look, that extra $100,000 or $200,000 that you're going to have to pay in taxes, how about we go and just set that aside, even if we put it in a CD or something, a treasury bill, where, hey, we're going to get 4.5%. So that $100,000 and $200,000 can actually be getting that 4.5% during the year. And then when I file my taxes, I could have just paid it in April 15th. So as long as I pay my bills by January 15th, then I will effectively avoid that penalty. The same goes for tax withholding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an S corporation or you're a C corp owner, you can do your withholding where your withholding is if it's throughout the whole year. So I'll do the same thing with retirees, for example, who, let's just say they're taking out monthly from their retirement accounts. I say, well, the first part of the year, you're just going to take out your net amount, but the tax amount, we don't want to pay your taxes monthly. We're going to just do a one-time withholding at the end of the year so that, hey, if my taxes are $30,000 for the year, I still want to set that $30,000 in cash in the account, but I'll keep it in a safe place where it's getting that 4%. And in December, I'll do a one-time tax withholding of $30,000 if that was the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And in the IRS, because it came from a withholding, whether that was from an IRA or from your W-2 paycheck, that withholding, they treat it as if it was paid evenly throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did it all in December, they would treat it as if I paid $1,200 a month. It allows you to basically keep more money on hand, use it to grow, so you eventually just basically keep more money in your pocket. So that would be strategies that could help you actually make a little bit more money.
Listen, y'all, that's a great strategy. Listen, I don't know if y'all remember this from one of our previous episodes, but Terrence has said, like, this is not, you know, you don't have to go to TikTok to all these different places. This is not like hidden information. You can find it. But listening to podcasts like this with someone with experience will give you those strategies for free, right? So please take heed to this, y'all, because paying penalties is not good. I mean, unless you just want to, you know, like you said, write them big checks, unless you just don't care about throwing away money. That's your business. But I don't know about y'all, but I need all my coins. All of them.
Right. So first we have, okay, pay your estimated taxes. You have the pay as you go or the get out of jail free card, safe harbor method. So depending on your situation, you can pick one that makes the most sense. Secondly, so I'm going to ask you my favorite question I get at least 10 times every year.
Okay.
So I'm going to see if you're doing your homework, right? So the question is...
The dog ate it.
No. The question I get is, hey, I made money, but I got paid in cash. Oh. Do I have to report it?
Mm-hmm. I got paid under the table. You absolutely do have to report it.
I think, okay, if you stopped a cop and said, hey, I have marijuana in the car, or I got a gun, an unregistered firearm in the car, what should I do about it? What do you think they're going to tell you, okay? Like, I'm not going to tell you as a tax professional. You know what? Break the tax law, okay? Do that, all right? I'm making light of this, but the other component to that is if you are paying someone that is working for you, and you pay them more than $600 and they're not an employee. And I had this situation happen here recently where a tax preparer who I'm assuming either didn't know the rules or they were just trying to, it was probably a TikToker. But anyway, we sent out a 1099 to them that says, hey, last year it's a 1099 NEC form. And that 1099 NEC form showed how much this
company paid you to do work for them. So the IRS essentially says your income is either earned or it's unearned. If your income is earned, you do that as an employee or as a contractor. If you're not an employee and you're a contractor, that means you're effectively in business for yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Even if it's not a lot of money, even if it was $1,000, you're considered in business for yourself. That's how the IRS defines it. Because I had a lady who thought, well, I can get a 1099 miscellaneous form, and then that's not going to treat me as a business. What she was trying to do is avoid paying the self-employed on the money. And I'm thinking, well, that's not really a thing. Or I get people who, they say, hey, I don't want to get a 1099 because I got to report the money. Well, the thing is, if I'm the business owner and I'm paying you, well, why should I have to face the IRS? Because
correct.
If they don't send you a 1099, then they could throw out that deduction.
Say it for the people in the back, Terrence. Okay. I literally just had this conversation. The person shall remain nameless. But they were trying to help a relative. Let's just say that. Okay, we're going to leave it at that. And they were trying to not do the 1099. And I said, absolutely not. That is not going to benefit you, right? And so what he's saying, you all, I really hope you're listening, because for business owners to want to do the right thing, who want to eventually get to where you know how to balance your books, rather, and you know how to use those tax deductions and these tips and tricks that he's given you all, this is something that's huge. If you are paying people, is it more than $600? Do the 1099. I digress. Go ahead, Terrence, because I just, that just triggered me. Literally was trying to finesse. They call it finessing, trying to finesse something. And I said, no, you're going to finesse your way in trouble. Let's not do that.
So the thing is, when you hire someone, you should have a process. It's okay. What are the terms of what you're going to do for me? We should have an agreement so everyone is on the same page. And then you would give them a W-9 form so you can collect their information. Now, I've had people where they fill that W-9 form out incorrectly. Like they just put a fake social or EIN. I've had that happen with people. But it was up to you to give them the W-9 because not everyone that you deal with, unfortunately, is going to want to get that tax form.
Uh-huh.
And so you're in a position where, hey, I paid this person. I did collect the W-9. I did send them a 1099, but I want to deduct that amount on my tax return. Well, if I can't substantiate that deduction by those things, the IRS can just throw it out. And so you're thinking, I paid this $5,000. I paid this $10,000. Well, if you didn't follow the protocol, why should I have to pay more taxes for someone else who's working for me? It's not like they're working for free. I wouldn't, you know, they're getting experience, if you want to call it that. But why would
internship.
I pay more in taxes on their behalf?
Right.
And so it's like, look, if they're not wanting to do that, if they're not willing to pay taxes, just imagine it's the same way I get with people who cheat on other things. It's like, well, what makes me so special?
Right.
That they're not going to try to cheat me. If they're willing to cheat the IRS,
correct,
I'm way less special than the IRS. It probably
correct.
So they probably will try to cheat me at some point. But anyway, I digress on that. So any thoughts?
I certainly will say, please get some processes in order, right? I kid not really about the shoebox of receipts because some business owners do not keep good records and people get upset or have anxiety when it comes to tax season because they don't, it's like fear of the unknown. But if you take these tips, you know, the safe harbor, the pay as you go, that type of thing, if you issue those 1099s, if you do what you need to do, then come time to prepare your return, there should be no surprises, right? There should be no anxiety. And this is one of those things, business owner, where if you are going to have people working for you, please get a system in place. Please get a plan in place. Please be legit. Let's have a legitimate business and issue those. And if they don't want to have a 1099, then do they really need to be working for you? Right?
Right.
Don't mess yourself up by not wanting to issue this 1099, lose the deduction, or even get penalized for it. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it.
Right. And, you know, if they fill out your W-9 and they're a corporation, so they're a C corp or an S corporation, you don't have to send them a 1099 unless they're an attorney. Okay. But I wonder how many people give their attorney 1099. Right? right? But anyway, the third thing that I get, I see mistakes on, is you buy stuff to save on taxes.
Oh, real quick, before you jump into that one, don't forget your tip about you don't have to do this 1099 yourself. Go
get other people
to
do it. The other part is you actually want to send it to the IRS. If the other person gets it, they report it, but you didn't send it to the IRS, then you don't have the level of substantiation. Like they'll send that the form, but they won't report it to the IRS. So anyway, but you know, this is why we're learning. You know, we're giving you things to change if these are things you've done in the past.
But these are things that you want to invest in, right? You want to invest into a really good tax preparer. You want to invest into systems that will help you be organized and together, like a vendor that can do your 1099s for you. Because I don't know about y'all, but here in Oklahoma, they're kind of funky in the way they do some of these payroll things. So I will gladly give my little $2 to somebody else to do it that knows all the things.
Gotcha. So I see this where, hey, do I need to buy something to not pay taxes?
Mm-hmm.
So this is one area where
to offset,
kind of remind people, the government does not take 100% of your money.
Yes, they do.
If you owe taxes, that's going to be a percentage of the money that you make. So the top per tax is 37% federal. You know, states, I think the max is like 13%. Now, obviously, you'd be making quite a bit of money if you were in one of those tax brackets. So the max, you're going to pay 50%, okay, taxes. If you're going to go buy something, now, it may be worth it to you to buy something to save 50 cents, okay? But most people, if you're only going to save 20 cents on a dollar, so, hey, I got to spend a dollar to save 20 cents, that's generally not a good deal. Or in the same way, if I get a coupon to a place I don't shop at, it's like, what am I doing with this coupon? I'm going to go buy something I don't need or don't want so that I can save 20% because of the coupon you gave. So that's pretty much what a lot of people will do. Or they'll buy cars, they'll buy stuff, but they don't realize that you still have that payment. So even if I get a tax deduction today that saves me from having to pay the IRS, I have a payment on that car in the future. And the principal payment that I have is not deductible. So if I'm paying $1,000 a month on this car, I could have took a big tax deduction in year one, but years two through five, I have a principal payment that I'm paying that I get no tax benefit for. That money is coming out of my account. And so this is an area where, you know, I always say, don't pay a dollar to save 20 cents or 25 cents, all right, in this area. Because going back to before, if you aren't setting aside money for taxes, you're going to probably find yourself in this situation and you're going to be trying to scramble. And my thought is, well, if you don't have money to pay your taxes, how do you have money to buy something that you don't need? So this is something I'll leave you with the floor for the first part. Number four is running your personal expenses through the business.
Oh, man. Listen.
Right, so has that something you experienced in your first year?
Listen. So I want to give a little grace here because I did see this, right? A lot of small businesses who start their business, they will typically either use their current checking account or, you know, not, or if they get a business account, any income that they, any revenue, whatever, they'll just start using it for whatever, like their personal thing. And it's a no-go. You can't commingle. It's a no-go. One, as a tax preparer, it is H-E double hockey sticks trying to have you go through that bank statement to tell me what was personal use versus what was actually for the business. And then I don't know about y'all, but you know, you sleep sometime. And after you've slept a couple of days or two,
right,
you may forget from January 1 to December 31st what you spent or what every expense was and if it was for personal versus business use. And that's not okay. And although you may not have to give me all of your receipts, the way the IRS is set up and with this whole automated IA, just different things, they may come audit every once in a while. And if you can't tell me why you spent $500 on some lobster and crab legs, surely you wouldn't doing an employee retreat with two employees. You know, that's not a business expense. And so you really got to stop doing that. Stop using your, I mean, I'm just going to tell y'all, stop it. right? Have you a separate, matter of fact, like we was just talking about before, get you a payroll company, get that set up to where you can get paid yourself and have your separate account, but please stop commingling your business and personal. It's not good, especially when from January to December 31st, you can't speak to everything that happened and then you're making up stuff. And I'm not going to take the L for nobody. Okay. We not doing it over here. So that's my two cents with that.
There was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a bank robber. And they would ask him, why do you rob banks? And his response was, because that's where the money is. Well, for a lot of you small business owners, your money is in the business account. So it gives you the license, I guess, to think, hey, I'm going to just pay this out of my business account because that's where I have money. Well, go ahead and just transfer the money to your personal. Number one, it gives you a real sense of these are two separate things.
Yes.
I tell people, hey, when you own a business, you have two functions. You're an employee, but you're also the owner. If you're the employee, you should get compensated for the work that you do. In the same way, if you had another job as the owner, because you're taking more risk, you're taking more responsibility, you should be also compensated for that. And so I want to be able to determine, is this business or is this just a job that I created? If it's a job you created, and some people have very high paying jobs that they create, but they don't really have businesses because they don't really have a separation in that way. Also, if you set up an LLC and you think somebody set this LLC up, it's going to give me liability protection. But if you're not operating like a business, then the court isn't going to treat you like a business. So you think Apple, you think Tim Cook, the CEO, is basically, would be fine with, oh yeah, my directors, when they go to Costco, they just put it on the business card, right? Like, they're not going to do that. You'd get fired if you just randomly purchase all this personal stuff. And that's how the business treats you, is, hey, you're basically stealing money from the business, which is effectively what you're doing. Even if you are the business owner, you're stealing money from the business if you don't have that separation. And it's going to kind of muddy up your numbers. And if you do find success and you start actually making money and you want to be able to sell your business one day, well, how are you going to explain to someone who's buying it? Well, actually, when I go to Walmart every week, that's really not a business expense. I just pay it through my business. But how are they going to know that? And so they're going to think, well, look, your business makes less money because you have all this personal stuff in it. So I'm going to pay you based on what you said the business made in your financials. And so we have to do what's called a recast, or we readjust your numbers, and sometimes that can be successful, but a lot of times people will just, they won't take that extra risk. If I'm buying your business, I'm going to just go with the numbers you told the IRS. I'm going to go with, as much as possible, the lowest number, so then I can probably try to buy you for a lower price. So if you don't have that separation, you might be costing yourself money in the long run.
And I think too, I like what you said. You got to keep it clean, right? There needs to be a degree of separation between you and your business, and understanding that you are the owner and the employee is key. I would also say to you that your tagline is keep more of what you earn in your pocket, right? I think that's right. Keep more of what you earn in your pocket. And
you got the first part.
What is it? Keep more. What is it?
Keep more of what you earn.
There you go. Keep more of what you earn. And then in your pocket.
This is on the job.
On the job audition. But keep more of what you earn in your pocket, right? But keep more of what you earn. And one of the ways to do that is really by having that degree of separation. Because when we talk about, he was talking about buying stuff just to be buying stuff, right? You could possibly lose out on being able to include certain things to certain expenses if you don't know what those expenses are. If everything is commingled, you could be missing out on some advantages, right? So I think that it's worth it. One, like Tance was saying, from the long game, if you really want to stand out as a reputable, solid business, this is the way to go. And if you end up wanting to sell something, this is the way to go. Two, it removes any gray area from a tax preparation standpoint. And then three, it makes sure that you can get all the deductions, situations that are applicable to you without having to finesse or finagle or be weary if, this is really something we can claim type of situation. So, yeah, keep it clean, people.
So the last thing we'll touch on, and we'll actually go into a court case that I'm interested to see where they got this information from. Ooh. But be wary of where you get your advice. I get a lot of people, I mean, I would say this is another thing, at least 5 to 10 times a year, I get, hey, I saw this on TikTok, can I do this? And I'm not saying that people on TikTok, there are some people on TikTok or other mediums that don't have information. But as we talked about before, the tax code is not the secret arts.
Right.
There is no like backdoor entry and like a secret handshake that goes on. Everything is public. Now, how you interpret it, how you utilize what it says to your advantage, those are things that can be legitimate. And then you just might be able to have precedent that the IRS backs up. But a lot of times I get people that they want to do something personal. Hey, I'm getting married. I'm inviting potential clients. It's like, well, the IRS isn't going to see it like that. Like, if you can't keep a straight face when you're trying to describe your business expense, it's probably not going to work out. Now, there are certain things that are legitimately personal items, but
right.
You could change them into business things with the proper planning ahead of time and structure. Okay? Mm-hmm. So those things that we can try to help you with where, hey, I was going to spend this money anyway, but how can I give it a business function that does give me a tax benefit? That's how you want to look at this versus I'm going to just try to write stuff off that's all personal. Or because I heard on the internet, as Abraham Lincoln said, don't trust everything you hear on the internet. It may not be legitimate. Or even if a tax person showed you, they should be able to cite where it is, right? Hey, that's in code section 162. That's in code section 74. That's in code section dot, dot, dot. That would allow you to say, okay, hey, they could cite it. And that would give me the confidence that this is something legitimately that I could do.
And I would just kind of add just a little tidbit. If you do get something on TikTok or social media, wherever you find your business advice from the social media specter, just like Terrence is saying, just vet it before you do it. And I know I just keep going back to it, but the buying stuff, just to be buying stuff, if you hear it on social media, don't just go buy it. Please vet it. Just please. That's all we asking. And I know some of y'all be like, well, it's going to cost money to get a consultation. Listen, it will cost you money if you end up buying a whole car. That, you know, it will cost you money if you end up buying whatever that you can't even claim. So it's worth the investment, right? It's really worth the investment. I heard someone say, what makes you laugh today is going to make you cry tomorrow. So if we want to prevent that, it's worth the investment to get it vetted and run it by a professional.
So I'll tell you the funny thing about that. I had a lady who came to me this year and she was wondering why she owed so much in taxes. And she had taken out a distribution from her retirement account, but it was a hardship. She withheld 10% because in her mind, oh, you know what? They hear that 10% early withdrawal penalty. And so they think, oh, I'm going to have to pay 10% on this. But she didn't also factor in that you actually have to report that as income as
income.
Well, in addition to the 10. So she has this huge tax bill because she went and bought a house. But that could have been easily avoided if she had done, one, a little bit of research. But secondly, to say, hey, let me talk to someone who kind of knows what they're talking about. And then that would may not have changed her decision, but she wouldn't have been in TurboTax looking at this $60,000 tax bill and completely thrown off guard and confused about why it happened. Okay. So our court case this week is actually an interesting one. This happened in 1977. I was thinking, this is something that I wouldn't be shocked would happen today with, you know, Instagram models and all that we have in our society. But Mr. Trinidad, he owned a nightclub. And, you know, nightclub, obviously, you know, long hours can be stressful, got to manage a lot of stuff. And so he needed what he said in order to do his best job, he needed to be relaxed and happy. Okay. And so because his live-in girlfriend allowed him to be relaxed and happy, she, you know, cooked for him. She did all this stuff for him that was essential for him to be in his best business shape. He thought, well, I'm going to just go ahead and write off her stuff. So, you know, I'm taking care of her. I'm going to pay for her rent, her food, her clothes, her beauty salon visits, because you know, obviously she can't be looking busted. So I'm going to write off that stuff for her as if she was like an employee. And so he took this to the court, and the court said, well, you know, we understand that she maybe helps your morale, but your girlfriend is not a legitimate business deduction. Okay?
So I'm not exactly sure how he came to that conclusion. I don't know if he someone told him that, but to me, that sounded as if it was something that you would hear on TikTok today.
Oh, I am sure people are trying to do this today. But here is the question. Let me just kind of, and y'all don't do this, but you asked the question right earlier in the podcast. You said, you know, if this is an expense that you're already going to have, how do I make that to where I can include it, right? So
right.
This person should have asked, if this is an expense, right? Do I need to 1099 her? What do I do? I need to, you know, treat her as a in-house maid, in-house worker? Or what can I do to, you know, write this living girlfriend off? So I'm sure there are people thinking about it right now. How can we use this to our benefit for sure?
Yeah, I get that. The other thing I get multiple times is they think they can write off their time. So like they volunteered, or, hey, I did this work. I didn't get paid for it. How can I write off my time? Well, how does the IRS know what your time is worth?
Right.
Well, there's like, there is no universal standard that says if you are 55 and have 20 years of experience, your time is worth X. Okay, there's nothing in the tax code that would specify that. Once again, we try to help you be educated. Look at, hey, here's some of the things that other people have done that we see. You could think, all right, that's something that I didn't know. Or, hey, that's something I've done before. Or now that I'm in a situation where I started a business, these are things that I want to avoid. So I can start building better systems. I can start implementing things in a more structured way. Because most of the time, if you start a business, you ideally want to be making money in that business. And so if it's a lot harder to start doing things right after you've been doing them wrong for multiple years, and then you have way more responsibility, way more money on the line, than to actually just try to do it correctly at the beginning. So you don't have to basically reinvent the wheel that you kind of created over the time that you have been in business. So any final thoughts to share with people before we wrap?
No, but I would just say stay tuned for the discussion about the business startups. I may be the case study for that. Who knows? I don't know, but and I don't want you all judging me either. Okay. If I be vulnerable on that podcast, do not judge me, people. Okay. But stay tuned for that one. I'm looking forward to that one as well. Listener and learner as well. So that's gonna be a good one.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in. And as we say, keep more of what you earned and don't add that in your pocket.
Later, y'all.
We'll talk to you next week.